But it's, you know, Exeter is an incredibly connected place, but also I think that dormant spirit, you know, 26 years ago I arrived here, 26 years ago, but it clearly still lives on, and Adrian will vouch for that. If you see University Radio Exeter, Expression FM, University of Exeter on your CV, you straight away go to the top of the pile. And the other thing, of course, that we should say is I'm now obviously just turning 25.
Of course.
44. And, you know, we're now on the air to people, apart from Frog listening, who, frankly, weren't born when we rocked up here for the first time. And that's an incredible emotional sort of churn.
Absolutely.
And, this is turning out to be, and I must have done 10,000 radio shows in my life. This is turning out to be one of the most incredible half hours of my life, because it's where it all started. And you know, there's a possibility I may not be on the radio from next summer, so I don't want to say this is where it all ends, but it's a strange completion of the circle.
You never know what's around the corner. The job security of the radio industry is not that well known. But it's not just, we were talking about people who've made it in media and in broadcasting. A lot of people behind the scenes, for instance, Clive Jones, head of operations at LBC now. I mean, it all started at University Radio Exeter.
And Clive overcame great physical problems as well.
Absolutely.
And he's incredible, just a fantastic guy. And he's done so, so well. And, you know, when he first walked into the radio station, you wouldn't necessarily say, you know, he's a winner, with the greatest of respect. But he is an absolute winner, isn't he?
Well, one of the things I used to say, because for those who don't know, Clive was involved in a motorbike accident before he got to university, left quadriplegic and told he wouldn't walk again. But he got up on crutches, crumpled as he was, to be fair. And we used to have stacks of singles in these low drawers, and we used to have the constant problem when I was programmes controller for a couple of years, every single Monday I'd have to remind people to put the blinking singles away. And I would
and
just
it was
give
Clive, was it?
Well no 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 and I'd give the example of Clive, who would spend probably an hour trying to do it because it wasn't so easy to get down and back up again, but he would make sure he stuck by the rules, and other people who were perfectly able to just sort of get on with it didn't. And so he's always been an example. But you know, we had the thing about University Radio Exeter is you kind of come back and you forget some of the rivalries that develop,
course,
as well.
Absolutely.
I mean, there are an awful lot of people here and probably coming to this reunion who are going to be going eyeing each other up and going, now are we going to be nice to each other, or are we going to pick it up 20 years later?
Adrian Hobart, cards on the table. I was the worst program controller the radio station ever had, because I treated it as a professional job and I wanted it to be my job, and I knew what I wanted to do. Other people were just passing through, and I ran it like a tyrant. I was frankly an arse, and I didn't do the job for very long, and I'd like to state on the record that I apologise right now. I've had a wonderful career in radio, but I didn't treat it as a hobby. I treated it as a job. And you know, I mean, the positive of that is we talk about the legacy of your forefathers that you inherit. You inherit a lot of stories at the university radio station, and legends come in you know, two sizes, good and bad. And the bad stuff also sets an example. You know, they might go, Tony Horn wouldn't stand for that. And that's negative and positive, but it does create the barrier. And
I think it makes all the difference, running it like a professional radio station, having the right work ethic from the beginning. It's fun, yes, but we're not here just for fun. We're here actually to do a good job and to produce good content. We went FM for the first time in 1991, event broadcast, and we were going across the whole of Exeter and beyond, and the local radio stations, they listen to us, and we knock the socks off them.
Yeah,
in fact, they poach half the sports team, I believe, after hearing
right
them.
Right away, yeah.
If I can pick that up on two points. Firstly, if he's listening, we omitted to mention a guy called James Pierce, who I trained Portly, as he was known, lived in Jesse, absolute Sloan. Ridiculous stripy shirts as fitted the Jesse Montgomery mode. James went on to be top BBC sports correspondent, Olympic correspondent. I remember calling him after England won the Ashes down under, and he was in Sydney, and I just said congratulations, and not because he won the Ashes obviously, but because he was covering it. And I couldn't quite get my head around the fact that somebody that I trained was now on a freebie for the BBC watching cricket down under. But you know, I love Portly, and you know, he would have been my best man if the first marriage had happened. But but James now, you know, he's, you know, best mates with Seb Coe, and he's training, and he's a classic inspirational Exeter figure. And it was James that got the first FM license. So we need to recognise that in 1991. And one thing I would say, sorry, is that we used to do on a Wednesday night, I believe. It was a half-hour show. There was a gap in the schedule. There's always a gap in the schedule at Expression FM and University Radio Exeter. And we created this half-hour show called FM Showcase. And Alex and I here used to do it, and it was total garbage.
It was.
And there was a record that we used to start with, which is just the duffest record ever. It's Charlie Dore, Pilot of the Airwaves, and it's about ringing a radio DJ for a request. And we wrote on the sleeve of the record some inspirational words, and we left the record in the boxes that Adrian was referring to at the radio station, and we wanted future generations to read it. Unfortunately, I nicked the record, and it's in my shed somewhere at home, which brings me nicely on to how many records have you ever nicked from University Radio Exeter Expression FM? 20.
That's pretty generally impressive. I haven't nicked any, but you were talking about the FM Showcase, 91. It wasn't just the first time URE went FM. It was the first student radio station in the country to go FM, and it really paved the way for what's now taken for granted. Everybody's on FM, and people don't even know what medium wave is anymore.
And it's true that the legacy of the radio station, I'm just going to take a photo here, the legacy, a message on Tinder, very exciting. The legacy of the the legacy of the radio station is such that one generation, even though someone like me that went on to be a radio professional, the legacy is such that this generation creates the next, and that is a wonderful, wonderful, kind giving thing. And I just, you know, I made a cracker a few moments ago about the first marriage that didn't happen, but I'd also like to, you know, say, you know, beyond friendship, you know, romance formed out of this radio station too. And there are various stories of previous generations of what went on under the mixer.
Yes, yeah. And let's leave it there.
But I, you know, I met, you know, well, she's probably even listening, but, you know, fantastic person through here, so.
Absolutely. And I think it was because we were people putting so much effort into it at the time that not only was it launching careers, but there are student radio stations all over the UK. Certainly at the time, and I think many times since, no station was winning as many awards as we were winning here.
Well, awards are generally sort of overrated. I mean, it is what you do on a day-to-day basis that counts. But when you're at the student level, I mean, it was. I think it was us and Nottingham, possibly.
Yeah, and Warwick were they were still sort of basking in the Simon Mayo glory, weren't they? They were the station that produced him, and he was doing Radio 1 Breakfast when we were messing about on air. So they used to hold that up. But I remember going to a student radio conference with Clive. We'd driven all the way to Hatfield. We arrived after about 6 hours on the motorway. And they went, "Oh, Exeter are here. Yeah. Come to collect your award then, have you?" At which point we just turned around and drove back again, because we weren't going to cop it for being, you know, we were incredibly successful year on year on year, and just people hated us, frankly, but we don't care. We were the Man United of student radio at that time.
Absolutely. Yeah, and in 26 years on the radio, I've only ever won one award since. But it doesn't matter to me. It matters that you've got the job. And what an incredible, incredible, I hate that word, journey, but, you know, I walk in here in October 1989, I'm still on the bloody radio in 2016, and, you know, I've been lucky enough to do 7 outside broadcasts from New York and the Maldives and Lanzarote, and people ask me to write their books, and people trust me with a microphone, and I suppose, as we're going to have to wrap up in a moment, but I suppose that is the legacy of the radio station.
And absolutely.
You know, I've been lucky enough to go to places metaphorically that people can only sort of dream of, but it would not have happened if it hadn't been here. I would have been on the radio, but the people that I was around in the inspirational place, and the legacy of the radio station, and the debt of the forefathers, really you know, it built us, didn't it? It built us, you know.
And it's not just the people who've gone into professional broadcasting. The communication skills that you build up from doing this for 2 or 3 years sets you up really well for life, whatever way you end up doing.
In fact, I wouldn't be, you know, doing what I'm doing, because I came to university not knowing what I was going to do. First night I arrived and won a competition on Alex's show, walking past the speaker on the way to the freshest squash, and that was it. And so I had debt to this man massively. But once, you know, it was also this thing of I went into student learning journalism or whatever afterwards. The values we had here, we were so far away when Russell and I arrived at Cardiff compared to anyone else, because we'd been here. And actually, then I went into local radio, and this place was doing better things than I got one of BBC local radio. So.
Yeah. What was your degree?
Ancient history and archaeology.
Jeez, I did French and Italian, and my last 2 years. So I left university radio. I left it because I was on the air 7 to midnight on Devon Air and Plymouth Sound, now Heart, getting paid £25, 5 hours a night, Monday to Friday.
And that was luxury.
And some people said to me, you'll never graduate. And I got a Desmond, as they used to call it. They probably don't anymore. Are you walking out now, Adrian?
No, I'm just conscious that it's 2:30.
Well, the last show overran, so I'm having a... Sophie's giving me the eyes.
We are professionals. It is 2:29.
But extraordinary thing. You know, from time to time, you Google former people that you were with. So Heather Gillis, who I fell in love with, was from Kansas, and she was here for a year. And I find myself in the University of Kansas library, and I look up Keith Cameron, who I believe may have passed away now. He was head of French here and taught an awful course on Rabelais, which is some, I don't even know what century, 16th, 17th century. And Keith was a fantastic guy. And on the very first day, in 1989, he sat us down in the lecture theatre and he said, your time is going to pass here. Be proud that you are from Exeter. You're going to waste a lot of time having coffee in DH and stuff like that, but be proud. And I despised his course. And he used to stroke his beard in a pompous kind of way. But I still looked him up when I was in blooming Kansas, you know, Dorothy.
Of course.
And that never goes away. And at one point, I was summoned in for a meeting because my studies were failing. And I walked in wearing a university radio T-shirt. And he said, I think that's the problem. And probably a good place to end is by saying it really wasn't the problem. It was the answer.
Absolutely.
It's been an... You know, of all the radio shows that I've done, all the broadcasting that Adrian's done and Alex has dipped in and out, it's been a, you know, therapeutic but wonderful, emotional half hour. And I think we'd all probably like to just say to anybody listening, thank you so much. And to the university and the radio station and Sophie that's organised this, what a wonderful opportunity life gave us. And thank you.
And above all, to John the Frog, who I don't think, if it wasn't for him, I don't think any of us would be here today.
Absolutely, and here's to the next 40.
Yeah, and let's make this annual. And just to wrap up, I'll just put my contact details out there again. And you guys, if you want to do the same, you'll find me on the Twitter, Horny Media, HorneyMedia. You can Google me, you'll find me, no problem. So, Adrian.
Horny140 on Twitter.
Alex, no, you don't want to know.
If you can spell Borchard, my surname, Alex Borchard, you'll find me on Facebook.
Right. We're off to the Ram. Does the Ram still exist?
Apparently. It does still exist, okay. And it's looking very good.
It is 2:32. The next show is wandering in, I suppose. I probably should play a song to sort of help them change over. I don't even recognise any of the songs that are in front of me. I'm that old. David Bowie and Heroes. I wouldn't even know which fader it was on. do you know what? I'm just going to walk out of here and say thank you so much for listening.
No, you've got to put something on. What about the new Order record?
No, New Order's awful. Unbelievably, 26 years in radio and a student is teaching me how to work the gear.